So, I'm having breakfast with my mom yesterday. And mom asked me a question that I think a lot of people are asking. She says, what is this ISIS? And are we getting pulled back into another Iraq war? And I said, well, you know, it kind of works like this. And then I mentioned that we had won the Iraq war back in 2007, 2008. And as we were leaving, the one thing that Bush had not yet done was conclude an agreement with Iraq about how many troops we would leave behind and what they would do. It's called a Status of Forces Agreement, and we have them with over three dozen countries. That's, you know, what we had with Korea after the Korean conflict. And I said that Obama had no interest in having a meaningful status of forces agreement. And so when Iraq balked at how he wanted to have 3,000 troops there rather than 20,000 troops there, Obama said, well, then if you don't want a status of forces agreement, we'll just leave. And I said, and that created a vacuum. And into that vacuum walked ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Michael Leiter, the former director of the National Counterterrorism Center, told David Gregory Meet the Press what the ISIS threat is all about and why it even matters to us.
But I'm just trying to really make sense of all of this, and there's layers to it. Michael, I really want people to understand what we're up against with ISIS.
This is not just a normal terrorist group. This is a terrorist army that now controls land. And I think this would be clear if they had kept their old name. This was Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which has become the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. This is now the biggest terrorist organization we've ever seen, with the most control, with the most money, getting more and more recruits. They're obviously threatening Iraq, but they're also serious threats to the stability of our neighbor, of the neighbors in Jordan. And the intelligence community believes that both ISIS in Iraq and Syria and other elements of the opposition in Syria are absolutely looking to attack the West. Western operatives in Iraq, Western operatives in Syria who can travel easily back to Europe and back to the U.S. homeland. That's the homeland terrorist threat that people are most concerned with.
Okay, and I think that that pretty much sets out why ISIS is a threat in the first place, why we should even care about this. But it's the nature of these guys, just how brutal they are, that has so many people spooked. I mean, we're talking about allegations that they behead children, that they tell people in the villages and towns they descend on, you need to become Muslims by noon today or we kill all of you. That they are threatening to starve out or massacre anyone who does not agree. They will crucify, and I've seen the pictures, crucify people who they think are opponents of theirs. I mean, that's just how ugly this whole thing is. And there is, well, let's put it this way. In World War II, before World War II, there were two countries whose leaders believed that they were innately superior to other people and had the right to rule them. One of them, of course, was Adolf Hitler. And one of them was the Empire of Japan. And they thought nothing of invading other countries that they thought beneath them and ruling them. Japan was particularly ruthless and barbaric in virtually liquidating people in the city of Nanking in China. So we have, I think, the Muslim equivalent of the Nazis and the Empire of Japan in the 30s and 40s. That they feel no compunction, no reluctance to simply steamroll and murder and to pacify villages by terrorizing the people there. Now, the president is so struck by the metastasizing of this cancer that, frankly, is filling a vacuum that he left open by leaving the region vulnerable, that he has authorized limited airstrikes, which brings nothing but mockery and scorn from John McCain, who says, you know, three strikes here and there, one taking out a piece of artillery. He said, that's not how you send these guys a message. Here's John McCain on one of the Sunday talk shows. I think it was CNN yesterday.
When the President of the United States proudly announced that the last combat troop was out of Iraq, that, by the way, it's not a matter of whether, it's a matter of when Bashar Assad will be leaving power, and all those other statements about how the conflict is winding down, all of which have turned out to be false because there's a vacuum of American leadership all throughout the Middle East, not just look at the Israeli Hamas situation and others. But the fact is that there's no leadership, and the decisions have consequences. And the consequences of our failure to leave a residual force and our announcement that we are leaving the area and a vacuum of leadership, especially in that part of the world, we are paying a price for it.
McCain goes on to say, by the way, if you want to see an exact rerun of this terrible movie, keep doing what Obama wants to do in Afghanistan. Pull out all the troops there, same thing going to happen. So the answer is, how tough do we get? What do we do? Pat Buchanan says, well, one thing you don't do is overreact. Here he is on the McLaughlin Report answering McLaughlin's question about whether Obama's doing the right thing or whether he's being too timid.
Question. Is President Obama a day late and a dollar short intervening against the Islamic State, Pat Buchanan?
No, he's not. This is not our war, John. I think he's done the right thing in using air power to stop a successful attack on Kurdistan and keep the enemy away from it. But American air power can only do so many things. It can keep these characters out of Baghdad. It can keep them out of Erbil and out of Kurdistan. But in the long run, the Iraqis and the Turks and the folks in that region, the Kurds, they're going to have to fight this war themselves. And I will just one point, John, is who's been fighting them? Assad's been fighting them. The Iranians are against them. And Hezbollah's been fighting them. I think the United States could, with diplomacy, put together a coalition with a specific objective of going after the Islamic State, because that is our principal enemy, I think, in the region.
In other words, Buchanan says, okay, fine. From the air, we can keep them from encroaching closer to Baghdad. We were not fast enough to keep them out of Tikrit, which is one of Iraq's largest cities. We were not fast enough to keep them from controlling now not one but two of the largest hydroelectric dams in Iraq. And we were not fast enough to keep them out of Mosul. But we can keep them with air power from going too much further. In terms of actually defeating them, that's a land war. And that's something that is not our war, something we don't want to do. Leave that to the players who are already on the ground, because they're going to get very ugly and very confusing. You heard Buchanan say Iran is against them. Syria is against them. Iraq is against them. So if there are any boots on the ground to be deployed, maybe we can help organize the coalition. But we should not be involved in this. Now, there's something else that needs to be mentioned here that hasn't been emphasized, which is why, of course, you need to listen to the show, because we make the insightful, profound observations that others come to the party a little late with. And that is, it's not clear who's really running ISIS. It's an organization, an entity that is very well organized and very lethal, but its command structure is very iffy. And, you know, it's not like a government where you know who's in charge of the military, who's in charge of interior security, who's calling the shots, you know, who are the people at various levels. So if that is in fact the case, you might have divisions within ISIS that could turn on each other eventually. Radicals have a way of doing that. So what do you think? Do you think we need to go in hot and heavy? Or do you think we need to limit what we're doing to airstrikes and then let the people on the ground do the fighting and keep American boots off the ground? Give me a shout here, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757 outside King County. You got 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757. Mike calling from the naval station at Bangor. It's good to have you here, calling from the peninsula this morning. Mike, how are you?
How you doing, sir?
All right.
My only question is, when I hear John McCain get all mad and want to have us go over there and fix it, there's a billion Muslims that have a lot of weapons and a lot of training, and if this is something that they don't believe in, they should go fix it themselves first.
Well, and I think that that's what's going on. That's what's going on in Syria. That's what had been going on in Egypt. That is what's going on.
Saudi Arabia has all of our advanced weaponry, and they're not doing a thing.
Right. No, excellent point. Yes, we are arming a lot of these countries. What are they doing to take out the Islamic threat?
Correct.
No, I think that's a very good point to use. Again, if we can use strategic bombing strikes to prevent ISIS from carrying out these liquidation campaigns against these villages and the like, you know, more power to us. But in terms of getting actually drawn from the sky into, you know, a land-based operation, I think, no, I would leave that to others. You had one senator over the weekend who was like this close to sounding like he wanted boots on the ground, and I'm just shaking my head saying, no.
I have no problem wanting to fight these people and bring justice, but it can't always be us alone just because our standards are set the way they are, where we believe people have some freedom. And until we see that the rest of the people that think the way they do want to fix this, then it's a tough call. I don't really want to have any more of our people die over there for them to just not care.
How long have you been in the Navy?
Oh, no, I was in the Army. I work in the Navy.
Oh, I see. You're a civilian?
Yeah.
Employee? Very good. Well, listen, thanks very much for your service. I appreciate your call. I think you're making some really good points. All right. Let's sneak in one more. Real quickly, Eric, go ahead. Real quickly, good to have you here on KVI.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird you were playing John McCain, who was criticizing Obama's response to the ISIS, because, like, last year, McCain wanted to arm the Syrian rebels who later became ISIS when they were fighting Bashar al-Assad, you know, during the Syrian civil war. So if we'd been going along with John McCain's plan, the crisis, I think, would be a lot worse right now.
Well, no, the problem with funding people, first of all, you could have made a case a couple, 3 years ago. Ralph Peters has mentioned this on the program, and now Hillary Clinton is echoing this, you know, after the fact, that, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, the elements were in place for us to fund an anti-Bashar Assad coalition that would have been a moderate group. It would have been a huge improvement over al-Assad, but that didn't happen.
Of that. Right. It's you can't guarantee that the moderate Muslims will just remain moderate, or that the more extremist ones won't kill them and take them over.
And take their weapons.
We need to be very careful about who we're supporting. Now, personally, I don't mind supporting the Kurds against the ISIS, because the Kurds have always been our friend. They have a long-term track record.
Yeah.
But not many of the Muslim groups have that type of track record with us. So, you know, we need to be very careful about this and not just pick the flavor of the month, you know, of people we support and arm.
I think your point is really good. I think McCain and Lindsey Graham calling for us last year to arm the Syrian rebels was way too late. I think we would have essentially been putting weapons in the hands of people that might have been using them to grow ISIS and grow the military threat. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to play both McCain and Buchanan. So you get two really good perspectives on how people are looking at this. And, you know, if you're talking about protecting the Kurds with airstrikes, protecting these villagers from airstrikes, protecting Baghdad with airstrikes, then I'm with you. But if this becomes a mission to destroy ISIS, and it will require boots on the ground to do it, because we're talking about them controlling territory, and there's only one way to control territory, and that is to move them out. Then they got to do that with their own people. I mean, meaning with Arabs, Muslims in the Middle East, not with Americans.